You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on hoopfeed.com. And we are ready finally for the WNBA Finals. Now, I can't quite decide if the season went too fast or too slow, but it was a lot of fun, and there were some great performances from a lot of people on and off the court. And I'm pleased to have with me the person that I still say should have won Coach of the Year, the Seattle Storm's Brian Agler. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing great, David. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Now, Coach, you know, unfortunately, the last act on the court that we saw you do, though, was shake hands with Cheryl Reeve, who is now playing in the finals, as the Lynx knocked out the Storm in the conference semifinals. But that let's start quickly by talking about the Storm, because, you know, that should not take away from the incredible season that you guys had and the classy way that you handled everything from Tina Thompson's farewell season to the injuries to just the way that you played with unbelievable heart and effort through the entire playoffs.
Well, I'll tell you, we really had an enjoyable season. You know, outside of the championship years, which, you know, that's just a different level. This season was probably as enjoyable as one that I've experienced at this level. And it all had to do with the leadership of, you know, our veteran players, Tina, Tanisha, and Camille. They all three did a great job on a daily basis of keeping and having high standards for our team. And there's not an easy game in this league, as you know. And, you know, there's two tremendously talented teams playing in the championship. But on a given night, any team in the WNBA can beat another one. And so we felt like we achieved at a high level. We set our goal to make the playoffs. And whenever you can set a goal and achieve a goal, you know, there's a sense of accomplishment that goes with that. And there's not that you're happy or sad when it, or happy that it ends, but you're definitely not sad from the standpoint that you know that your team really, you know, took a step and accomplished the goals that they set for themselves before the season started.
Now, that's a, you guys, especially down the stretch in the last games of the playoffs, really did play Minnesota with a great deal of heart and effort. And, you know, it looked for a little while there like you guys were going to steal that game too. But there's just this team from Minnesota, the Lynx, have just an unbelievable amount of talent.
They really do. You know, I have sort of went back and studied how they put this team together, and obviously they spent a lot of time, you know, out of the playoffs. And through the course of time of put together a series of lottery picks, with that have, you know, made a certain trades with those lottery picks and put this fine team together. And then when they, you know, when they acquired Brunson in the dispersal draft, and they finalized things by acquiring Maya Moore in the draft 3 years ago, that really put them over the top.
Now, even when you get these lottery picks, though, as you well know, it's far from an exact science. I mean, you look as to who ends up where and how they end up growing as their seasons and their careers go. I mean, you've had some, you know, tremendous hits, with especially at the top. Other than the top spot, you know, there's you get some players that you're never quite sure where it's going to go. Minnesota has managed to use that top spot very, very well, though. In, as you said, first with by getting Maya, trading for Lindsay, and also, you know, just overall using it also for Simone. So, I mean, there's the product of three overall number one picks right there.
Oh, there's no question. The trade that they made getting Lindsay is sort of, you know, it's very difficult to get quality point guard play in this league. I mean, everybody has good point guards, but to have an elite point guard like Lindsay is, it makes a world of difference. And by them acquiring her, you know, I think it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, really sort of put the cornerstone into that franchise. She's a stabilizer in a lot of different ways. She, you know, the ball's in her hands so much, and she makes great decisions. And she's such a true professional and a great competitor.
Now, you've had for years the best point guard in the world on your team. Lindsay is right there alongside Sue as injuries and time catch up with everybody. So that being said, Simone Augustus has been there the longest of any of those players. And Simone Augustus really is the person that I still look at and say that that's where Minnesota started to turn things around, that getting somebody that was willing to go with the flow and it being as laid back as she was when the team struggled really started this team on its way to greatness.
She is one of the most difficult players to defend in our league. And it's not like she has a wide variety of moves. She's very good in a lot of different areas, but her crossover and her ability to jump up and shoot, you know, mid-range jump shots over the defense is what separates her from being just a really good player to a great player, which she is. She's long. I think what they've done, their coaching staff has done a great job of getting her to buy into the defensive end. She's a much better defender now than she was when she first got into this league. And I think most rookies, you know, aren't great defenders when they come in, but she's one that's made great strides. She's not a liability at all defensively for them. She, you know, with her length and quickness, she can challenge a lot of things out on the floor. But you're right, that Simone was really the first step in putting this team together.
And then, of course, the other thing, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't discuss. I was talking with somebody just the other day, and my comment was that the big part of Minnesota's success, as good as the backcourt has been this year, is I think that they do have probably the best combination of forwards. When you can put together Maya Moore and Rebecca Brunson on the court at the same time, because they both have such intangible ability in addition to the obvious skill set that both of them have. And the growth in Maya Moore as a professional from last year even to this year has been just amazing, to the point where I thought she was the most valuable player in the league.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, that's taking nothing away from Candace Parker, because without Candace, L.A., you know, probably wouldn't have achieved the things that they did. But Maya was as valuable as anybody in this league. She has really taken a step forward, even from last year, just her ability to, and her willingness now, her willingness probably more than anything else, just to take and make big shots. There were times we played them this year, and even in the playoffs, that we felt like we did a great job of defending them, and then she would jump up over some really good defenders on our team and just hit either a three-point shot or a very tough two-point shot. And I think the other thing that people take for granted, maybe don't notice about Maya, she's probably as good a player without the basketball in her hands in our league as anybody. She knows how to move without the ball. She knows how to change speeds. She's an exceptional offensive rebounder, which obviously you do a lot of your work before the ball gets to your hands. And I have just really been impressed with how she's developed as a player. And, you know, their coaching staff should take a lot of credit on that. I mean, her work ethic, I'm sure, is exceptional. I've not been around her, but I know the people from Connecticut, you know, usually come in and have a great mindset that way in regards to their work ethic, but also in their mindset in regard to the team setting. But she is very, very, very good. She'll go down, if she continues this trend, as one of the all-time greats in our league.
You know, it's funny. I often wonder when I look and see that she led the league in three-point shooting this year. I remember Gino always used to get on her case about taking too many jump shots. So now I wonder what he's thinking now that she's actually making so many of those jump shots. So,
well, there weren't many games when she played at Connecticut that they had to decide on making a basket to win the game. So she's done that quite a bit when they've been behind and come down and in a late shot clock situation and has jumped up over the defense and made plays. And very difficult shots. And you can tell she's worked a lot on that.
Well, we've dissected most of Minnesota as individual talent. Now, the last time that we saw Lynn Dunn on a basketball court, as we talked about Coach Agler shaking Cheryl Reeves' hand, she was shaking hands with Fred Williams, the coach of the Atlanta Dream. And, again, much like Coach Agler had an incredible season, and we discussed that, I'm pleased to welcome Coach Lynn Dunn to the podcast now. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm sorry I'm running a little bit late, but I'm here.
No problem, Coach. We could always make time for you. You know, Coach, I got to ask you, at one point, with all the injuries this season and with Brian not having Sue and Lauren, did you ever just, like, both of you want to get together and just pour yourself a nice glass of some sipping whiskey and say, geez, what a year?
Well, you're lucky some years when you don't have any injuries, you know, and so you just know it kind of comes around. It's kind of cycle, you know. There's going to be times when everything goes great, and then there's going to be times when everything falls apart. So as long as I've been coaching, and I know Brian too, you know, we've been in the game a long time, it just happens. And so it's real important not to let it throw you haywire and just do the best that you can do and just keep on plugging.
Well, Lynn, you certainly did one of the best coaching jobs that I've ever seen, putting in players into positions that I played before. And getting the most out of them, you know, Breland becoming such an important part. And she was with Christmas playing everywhere from 2, 3, and 4 on the team. You know, just great stuff. And congratulations to you on a great season.
Well, thank you. You know, I give all that credit to the players. You know, we've got some really good blue-collar people that are professionals. And, you know, they really kind of responded to whatever we asked them to do. And that sure makes it easier, even though you're in a tough situation.
And when you have Tamika driving the bus, that certainly helps things, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't underestimate her leadership. You know, she's just relentless in everything she does.
Well, now, Coach, the Atlanta Dream come out of the East as their conference champions. And, you know, I have said it publicly that on our preseason podcast, I picked them to not make the playoffs because I didn't think their backcourt was going to be able to do anything this year with the roster, the group of people that they had. But their backcourt really became a very important and contributing factor to their success this year.
Well, I think you underestimated Jasmine Thomas. You know, they lost Harding, and then Thomas came over from Washington. And, you know, and she did probably better than everybody thought. And then you had Alex Bentley, the rookie. I think they may have even picked her in the second round, who was on the first team all-rookie team. So she contributed. And then, you know, don't ever underestimate Armenti Price. You know, this kid is a tremendous defender. She's one of the quickest players I've ever seen. I wonder sometimes why she's not on our Olympic track team. Her ability to rebound, her ability to defend, and she's improved her scoring. And then you threw Angel. You never know if Angel's going to be a 2, 3, or a 4. You throw her into the mix, and first thing you know, their perimeter is better than you think.
And one that you left out of that discussion was the one that gave you such a hard time in game one. You know, Tiffany Hayes was last year's second round choice too. You know,
right, and
great guards in the second round.
Yeah, and then, you know, and she came on later in the season. There was a while there where she was out. She didn't start. She didn't play. And I think what I see from the Atlanta Dream is they've gone with a small lineup, and I think that really enhances their greatest strength, which is their quickness. You know, now they've got Hayes in the lineup and Angel at the 4 and D'Souza at the 5, and they create some quickness problems for teams. Now, whether that will bother Minnesota remains to be seen. It could. I think Minnesota, though, however, has got to deal first and foremost with D'Souza in the paint. You know, who's going to guard D'Souza? Is it Brunson? Is it McCarville? Or is it by committee?
Right there. Now, that is actually a place where sort of struggled at times during the year, was in the post. McCarville has played well, but she wasn't, you know, an all-star type player like D'Souza, who is a 6'4" true center. Now, they were reluctant to bring in Amber Harris, it seemed at times during the year, and Peters is still only a second-year player. Now, you've had a situation where you had Larkins, who was an undersized center, trying to play a center, and Brian, you had Camille playing against it. Now, Brian, how do you defend a large center presence like that when you have the smaller posts?
Well, I think there's two things you take in consideration, and I think D'Souza might be as good offensive back-to-the-basket player as there is in the league. Has an uncanny ability to get deep possession, deep catches, and then she's got this drop step going both left and right, and she's using the backboard well. But there's two ways, and I think we try to do it. I think Lynn's team probably does it as well as anybody, as they congest and bring a second defender in. And I think the back-to-the-basket play, though, isn't as relevant now in our league as it might be in college, just because the lane is wider. And it's hard for players to get deep possession, deep catches down there and have possession of ball close to the rim. But I think Minnesota, they also do a good job of congesting the lane. You're not going to see that lane spread out too much defensively with Minnesota. I also think this, when we played Minnesota, we felt a key player for them was McCarville. We tried to and want to attack her defensively, just on her defensive end. Just from a standpoint, she, if you look at their statistics, she leads the team in plus-minus. When she's on the floor, their team plays at the highest level. And she's really – she's not going to score a lot of points. She's improved her three-point shooting, but she distributes the ball. She's a second point guard out there with Lindsay. She makes the offense run through her, through the middle of the floor. If you'll watch them play, the ball's in her hands a lot. But I do think it's going to be very difficult and a strain for them if she has to match up with either McCautry or D'Souza. That's going to really put Minnesota in a decision-making mode there of how much they're going to be able to play her that way.
Yeah, and I think they'll help off of Armenti. You know what I'm saying? If they're going to get any help in the paint, you know, that's something that Atlanta will do. You know, they're trying to spread the floor, but Armenti just doesn't have the 3-point shot. So, you know, Minnesota, whoever's guarding Armenti, I think will be in the paint with McCarville trying to help on D'Souza.
You know, Lynn, one of the things that has impressed me about Armenti Harrington is that I think that she attacks the offensive rebounds from the weak side better than anybody that I've ever seen. You know, she just hangs out there on the perimeter. Thing is, she's in the lane with the offensive rebound. But Minnesota's, you know, playing court, like we said, with Brunson, Moore, and McCarville or Peters, most likely, it could be a little bit tougher for her to get inside against them.
Well, I think you have to remember that Armenti uses her quickness, you know what I'm saying? So if you don't contact box her, you know, you may be between her and the basket, but she can still get around you because of her quickness. And I think that's going to be a real key to the game. The two keys, I think, is turnovers and box out. You know, if Minnesota takes care of the basketball and if they box out, then they've taken away two key ways that Atlanta scores. They score off of turnovers and they score off of putbacks. And if Minnesota can do that, I think it's going to be really, really hard for Atlanta to beat them.
You know, one of the things that I saw in the games that I saw in Connecticut with Atlanta was, you mentioned the turnovers. Part of their turnovers seemed to come, at least in my opinion, from almost overpassing. They try to make too many passes, especially when Angel goes into distributor mode instead of just shooter. I've seen her give up a lot of passes, a lot of shots in the paint area to try and go that one extra pass. How important is it for Angel to be able to control her turnovers as well as her emotions and play as the solid, all-around Olympic Angel that we saw?
Well, I think Angel has matured some. You know, she's much more calm, much more under control, much more poised this year than she was a year ago. So So I've seen that. I've seen her. I think we've played, I don't know, four, five, six times. I don't know how many times we've played them. But I've certainly seen a change in her. You know, she doesn't throw the temper tantrum fit. She doesn't quit playing as much as she used to. She doesn't yell at her teammates like she did as a rookie. So I think as Angel's matured and calmed down and showed a little bit more leadership skills, it's really helped the Atlanta team improve. And so I think she seems a little more into sharing the basketball. She's not trying to do too much. You know, she knows when she needs to score and when she needs to kind of take over as a star should, but she's not forcing as much as she did. And I think that's helping the whole team be better.
Yep.
Yeah, I would agree with Lynn. I think their team in general, from, you know, they were in the championship 2 years ago and 3 years ago. I think they're a more mature team than they were back then. A lot of it has to do with Angel. I think Armeni, one of her qualities, again, is her leadership ability. She keeps people calm. You know, LaCoe Willingham has played on multiple championship teams. D'Souza's older. And we all forget that they're missing Sancho Little. I mean, with Sancho Little, they have a much better matchup with Minnesota. And Fred, you know, Fred's sort of a calm guy himself. And, you know, that his personality you can sort of see a little bit more on the team right now.
Most definitely. Let's talk about the two coaches for a second. Cheryl, of course, has been there, you know, the last few years now and is the fiery up-tempo leader who, you know, has been known to beat up on her jacket. And Fred just sits there in the shirt and tie, and you know, you wonder sometimes if they need to shake Fred to make sure that he's paying attention. What's going on? He's so laid back. But these two are both great coaches and have done an outstanding job with their team. You know, Lynn, you being in the East, why don't you talk about Fred for a minute?
Well, I think one of the things that Fred has done, because he does have that kind of that laid back, more calming, you know, pat on the back type personality, which I think is good if you have assistants that are maybe a little bit different. And when you look at Julie Plank and Joe Champy and the experiences that they've had, especially Julie in our league, I think you've got a mix there. So when Fred's the good cop, one of them can be the bad cop. And I think Fred really plays that good cop role well. And I think the players have responded to that. In particular, it seems that Angel's responded to it. But don't underestimate his calmness and his laid-back approach. Don't assume that he's not demanding. He's just demanding in a different way.
And Brian, why don't you talk about Cheryl?
Well, I think Cheryl's done a tremendous job in Minnesota. If you look at the way that they play, both offensively and defensively, they're extremely well organized. They are a physically and mentally tough team, along with the talent that they have, and that has to come from the direction of the team itself, and that comes from the coaching staff. And so you have to possess that if you're going to win a championship in this league. I mean, Minnesota has it. Indiana has it. And that's, you know, they had it more than Minnesota last year. And that's saying quite a bit. And so I really give her a lot of credit on sort of establishing that in Minnesota. And then the way they run their offense, you know, they keep getting better and better with their execution over time. They've got a good system in. You know, they don't run a lot of pick and roll because they don't have many pick and roll players besides Lindsay. But they come off screens away from the ball as well as anybody, and they really set solid screens, and they're difficult to defend. And defensively, they're well organized. They have a system there. They congest the lane. They don't let the ball get to the rim often, and they rebound the ball well. And they're an efficient team. Both these teams are very similar. Even though they do it differently, they're similar from the standpoint that they thrive off creating turnovers or forcing turnovers from their opponents and converting into baskets. I agree with what Lynn said. One of her opening statements here was, you know, if Minnesota can not turn the ball over, that Atlanta will have a hard time beating them. And she's right. If Atlanta can turn Minnesota over, then Atlanta will stay in the games. If Minnesota can turn Atlanta over like they have the ability to do, because they can stay in plays with you defensively, then it will be tough for Atlanta. So I think the turnover factor here from both sides is going to be very important.
Two last things, and then we'll call it a night. The bench on both of these teams is not deep. There's some better, I'd say, if anything, you could raise the argument that Atlanta has a deeper bench if Willingham is playing and Bentley coming off the bench and Henry giving them some post size. Now, Minnesota uses Peters, and, of course, Monica Wright is just a tremendous player. But if the referees get involved and this and the bench has to become a factor, how much does that help one team or the other, in your opinion? Lynn, what do you think?
Well, first of all, the thing I like about Atlanta's bench is you've got two players over there, LaCoe Willingham and Ruth Riley, who have a championship ring. So I think that really helps this young Atlanta team. You know, they've been there, they've done that, they know what it takes to win a championship. So whether they get in the game or not, they have the potential to help this team more than, say, if they didn't have a ring. I also think that that as far as pure depth, I would probably give the edge to Atlanta. That's, to me, if I had to pick a weakness of Minnesota's team, it would be their depth. You know, they've got one perimeter player, in my mind, that's really capable of helping them win a championship, and that's Monica Wright. And she's good. She can play the one, the two, or the three. But after that, I don't know who else would be prepared to help them win a championship or take them to a championship. Whereas it seems like Atlanta probably has a few more people that might be able to come in if there's foul trouble, you know, especially in the post position with Henry and with Willingham and with Riley. But, you know, Minnesota, like Brian said, is so efficient. They don't get in foul trouble. You know, they're smart. They don't make stupid fouls. They don't, you know, they don't lose their poise and composure. And I don't know too many games this season where fouls have become a factor. Do you, Brian?
No, I don't. And I look at your team last year, Lynn. You had a series of injuries, and you were playing with, you know, six, seven people in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of look at Minnesota the same way. They've got seven players. They've started playing Lindsay Moore at the point guard. She's more of a true point guard than Monica Wright, and she's giving them, you know, 3, 4, 5 minutes a game just to give Lindsay Whalen a blow. But with Monica Wright and with Devereaux Peters coming off the bench, they could be a little bit thin in a difficult situation. But like Lynn said, how many difficult situations do you get in? You got Maya Moore that can play the post or the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's going to, in fact, she's probably going to play a lot of four. If they don't get much production from Devereaux Peters, then you'll see Monica Wright in the game, and you'll see Maya Moore move to the four spot.
It wouldn't surprise me to see Maya move to the four and Brunson move on to Souza, and Brunson use her quickness if McCarville's having a hard time with D'Souza.
Yeah. Brunson's a great defender, and she's a versatile mm-hmm. defender. She can guard a variety of people.
The improvement in Moore and in Wright this year seems to actually have them, in my opinion, in a better position to handle the small lineup than they were last year when they played against Uruslan.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. You know, Minnesota's used a small lineup off and on, you know, as long as I've, you know, seen Cheryl in charge. So it's not going to be anything unusual for them to go small, you know, to push Brunson to the five and Moore to the four. So it's not like it's something they have to work on that they haven't done before. And sometimes I think they're better when they go small. So they're not going to have any trouble doing that. I'm just going to be real curious. The matchup that intrigues me a lot, too, is the Waylon-Jasmine-Thomas matchup, you know, because Waylon has been playing so well, and I really thought she was a legitimate MVP candidate.
No question about it. You know, it gets fun when the MVP candidates are from the same team, because Brian and I were talking about it. I said that I thought Maya Moore was the MVP of the league this year. And you can certainly say that Lindsay was the MVP, even of the links. you know, so ahead of more. So it's a lot of fun that way. So, all right, now to bring some closure to this, coaches, I'm going to put you back in the coaches box. Again, you're facing the team that knocked you out of the playoffs, only now you got the other team as your players. Brian, you're coaching against the Minnesota Lynx with the Atlanta Dream. What are you going to do to try and beat the Lynx?
Well, like we both noted, they're very organized. And with the team, Atlanta sort of can get to a point where they gamble and they pressure defensively. And against Minnesota with their team, I would take chances defensively, try to disrupt their offense, try to force turnovers, try to get to the free throw line. You know, at the same time, you know, you've got to really be solid defensively in the quarter court. I think Minnesota is like, they might be 21-1 or 22-1 when they score over 80 points. And they also have lost games when teams have shot a lot of free throws on them. So those factors right there are going to play. That's the Achilles heel of Minnesota. The trouble is it's hard to get them to that point. They don't foul a whole lot. And they don't turn the ball over very much either. So, you know, it's a tough task.
Yeah, you know, I think you made a good point. I would really go back and look. How many games did Minnesota lose? 5 or 6, something like that. I would really study those 5 or 6 games that they lost, wouldn't you, Brian, and say, okay, is there a common denominator? What happened in those 5 or 6 games that led to a loss? And I would be real curious if you came out with a formula, you know, and I would really I'd go with that formula.
Yeah, the formula is if they get held under 80.
Mm-hmm.
If they get held under 80, they're 500 or less. And we tried to do it. We've held them under 80. We just couldn't get – well, that might be over 500 now since they played us, but that was sort of the formula. You've got to keep them from scoring. You can't let them score easy, and they'll thrive. They're very similar, Atlanta and Minnesota. They'll score on you easy. You turn it over, or they'll get out in transition and score on you quick, and you can't let either one of those teams do that.
You know, the other thing I think will be an interesting matchup is Armenti on Augustus. You know, Armenti has the potential to bother Simone Augustus because of her tremendous quickness and her relentless defensive pressure. And I'm going to be real curious how that matches up. And I guess Tiffany Hayes will take Maya or Angel. You know, I can't imagine Tiffany Hayes on Brunson, so I'm guessing Hayes is on Maya. And, you know, and they both value defense. You know, they're going to get out and defend really tough. So that's going to be an interesting matchup with their quickness against Minnesota superstars.
Yeah, if Atlanta doesn't get out and their defensive pressure isn't a factor, it could be a very short series for them. But if they can force turnovers, if they can – create some easy scoring opportunities off turnovers. I agree with Lynn. They've got the potential to do it because they've got exceptional quickness defensively.
Lynn, take the Minnesota Lynx and tell me how you're going to beat the Dream.
I'm going to take care of the basketball. I'm going to execute at a really high level. And I tell you something else I'm going to do. I'm not going to change what I've been doing. You know, I'm the Western Conference champions. I've got the best record in the league. You know, I'm going to continue to push the ball. I'm going to continue to attack and transition. You know, I'm going to keep feeding the ball to my go-to players in Augustus and Maya Moore. And just like Brian said, I'm going to use McCarville's really exceptional high post passing skills. And then her ability, you know, if you don't come out and guard her, she'll knock down a 15, 16, 17-footer. But I'm going to keep doing what got me here. I'm not going to change anything. I'm not going to panic. But I'm going to really emphasize sharp, crisp, you know, passes and just know if we take care of the basketball, we win.
Hey, Lynn, don't you think this, and I haven't really thought about this till I was listening to you, I could see Minnesota at times playing zone against Atlanta.
Absolutely. You know, the new defensive rule this year, you know, we voted it in, it came in, and so we all spent the season kind of adjusting as the season went along, you know, what we could do, what we couldn't do. And I think the journey has been trying to figure out how to play the zone and how to play it you know, at a high level without getting the 3 second call. And I think Minnesota will throw some zone out there because last time I looked at the stats, I think Atlanta might have been last in the league in 3-point shooting. So I think you could see some zone, and I think you could see some make or miss or flip, you know, mixing up man zone, that type thing.
You know, it just if anybody questions whether you guys are, know what you're talking about, I just thought it was interesting. While you were talking, I pulled up the box score from the game where Atlanta beat Minnesota. Minnesota committed 19 turnovers in that game, 15 of them from their starters. Huh? And DeSouza had 16 points and 16 rebounds. And Tiffany Hayes off the bench scored 23 points and hit two or three three-pointers. She had the only two. The rest of the team was 0 for 5 from three-pointers. But that's how they beat them. They turned them over. They rebounded. They actually lost the rebounding margin overall. But they had 9 offensive rebounds, and they hit the shots that they needed to make. You know, and that's the recipe for winning a championship series.
That's a recipe for winning one game. I don't know if they can do it. I mean, they got to win 3, 4. I can't remember. 4. I can't remember. It's three, best 3 out of 5. I don't know if they can do that without home court. You know, that's the other edge that Minnesota's got. They do have home court.
And Atlanta, keep in mind, is not even going to be playing in Phillips when they get back there.
I don't know that they've ever played in Gwinnett. Yeah. It's a nice facility, yeah, though. It's a beautiful facility, but it's certainly not where what group of fans they have are used to going to.
Well, when you consider that the only person that's ever won a championship at Gwinnett was Maya Moore when she was in high school.
That might be a sign.
You know, there's a home court advantage for you if I ever heard. All right, coaches. Lynn, Brian, I want to thank you for taking time. Now, I'm going to give you the option. Do you want to make a choice as to who's going to win? Because I know that these are other teams that are in your league, and you don't want to get anybody mad. And I've been thinking about you for next year. Lynn, you want to make a choice?
Let me tell you something. I don't worry about making anybody mad. That's, you know, after coaching for 44 years, that's the least of my worries. You know, I just have to go with Minnesota's experience. You know, they won a championship. They've been there. They've done that. They're hungry. You know, they're still ticked off from us stealing their championship last year. So I think they're going to come in focused. I think they're going to play at a high level. And I think they're going to win. I don't even know. I mean, they have the potential to sweep. So I'm going to have to pick Minnesota.
Brian?
I agree with what Lynn said. They are really a focused team right now. I think they are hungry. And I've always said in this league, the hungriest teams in a lot of times, and most times, doesn't matter if it's a playoff or a single game, is going to win the game. That's how close the talent is. I know Atlanta's been there 2 of the last 3 years. This will be 3 out of 4, and that is a tremendous accomplishment to get to the finals 3 out of 4 years. They haven't won a game yet, though. They haven't won a game in the championship series, and I'm hoping that they can do that for them. I hope that they can feel that and get that. So that being said, you know, I agree with Lynn. I think Minnesota is very, very hungry. They're playing with a chip on their shoulder right now. Atlanta, to me, is still not full strength, missing a key player in Sancho Little. I keep high regard for them. I think they've really come on here. They didn't finish the season off very strong, but they caught fire here in the playoffs and played well. So they do have some momentum. But I would say Minnesota's going to win the series at the longest in 4 games.
Well, you know, Coach, I know that your daughter is going to be playing ball this year as a freshman. You're going to get to enjoy watching that. Enjoy. Congratulations.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm going to go up and pick Lynn up and see if she'll go to a game with me.
Sure will.
You know,
I love Kurt Miller. I love to watch him. He does a great job.
Yeah, he does. He's a really good guy, good coach.
And Lynn, I think that it was really, really nice of the U.S. government to give you some things to tweet about for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm really on to this shutting down the government thing. I can get on my soapbox now.
That's it. No distractions.
No distractions. I'm full force ahead about fixing the country.
Lynn's
not procrastinating. Oh, Lord, I'm too old.
You know what, Coach? I hope that I'm like when I get to be that age. I'm telling you. Thanks again for taking the time this evening. Incredible knowledge being shared. I know I learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners will as well. Enjoy your off season. Good luck in the scouting for next year, and I know I can't wait to see what the healthy Indiana Fever and healthy Seattle Storm bring to the table next season.